Let's call the meeting to order. It's 6:08. It's the Administration Committee meeting, Wednesday, August 15th, 2018. We have myself, Alderman Wilczewski, Alderman Plocher, and Alderman Funkhauser here, and we have staff. We don't have any citizens on the comments because no one's here but us. Fun few people. Minutes for correction approval from July 18th, 2018. Comments? Corrections? We're good? So we'll take them if they are as accepted. New business. Number one, admin 2018-64, the monthly budget report for July 2018.
Okay, looking at our sales taxes. So that July 18 column of $240,000, that reflects May consumer purchases. That was expected to be only $225,000. So that was a great month, like 5% overage, which is good. But the one that's coming next month is the June consumer purchases. We have that one at $280,000. We only expected 256. That was like a 10% overage, and it's up 8% year over year. So that's good. It's like the reverse of last year, where the first couple months in the year are actually way overperforming our estimates. So it'll be interesting because our next meeting will be mid-September, so that means the July state receipts will be out, which are June consumer purchases, and that usually has a pretty big spike from our home improvement stores. That has historically actually been equal to about Christmas sales. So we'll see what happens there as it comes in. And then if anybody else has any questions about expenditures, let me know.
Any comments or questions? All right, let's move on to... Number two, admin 2018-65, the monthly treasurer's report from July 2018. Take it, Rob.
All right. Projected beginning fund balance of $11,544,955. Year-to-date revenues of $8,231,674. Year-to-date expenses of $6,863,423 for projected ending fund balance of $12,913,207.
Okay. Comments or questions on this? We have the admin 2018-66 bills for payment. Any comments or questions on the bill list? Good. Okay. Put that on for information on the City Council. Let's go to number four, admin 2018-67, the monthly website report for July 2018.
In your packet, you can see that July was a very high month for our website, mostly because of the fireworks cancellation and rescheduling. Same with our social media. But it just proves that people go to both locations. However, we find more and more that more people get their information on social media and then will be referred to our website from whatever link we put in there. So we're really focusing more on a lot more posts on social media to get people to go to our website rather than the other way around. Highlight is the Marge Klein Whitewater course was also highly searched in the month of July, as the Yak Shack was the number one download, even though that was recently demolished. However, we are trying to work with a few other people to do rentals for the future. On our social media, you can see the fireworks are the top viewed post on both the city and the Parks and Rec, and that we are averaging just a huge reach with these posts that we're putting out there. So we will continue to dive into this, and if there's anything else that you have questions on, I'd be happy to answer that.
To digress off with the Yak Shack, are they totally out?
They are.
They're not even doing it. Because someone, I thought someone, did you tell me? Somebody told me they were like coming with kayaks and like on a trailer and you could rent them.
Well, Tim told me he's operating locally out of his house and it's kind of an on call basis when he will come down.
Yeah.
But he's not operating out of the park.
Okay. Yeah, our agreement with him was severed a few months ago and then we tore down the building soon thereafter.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. So are we good? Any questions or comments on that? Alrighty. So let's go to 5, admin 2018-68, the fiscal year and 2018 budget report. Unaudited.
Well, just to cover it briefly, there are 50 pages of financial fund here, but I'll just get the highlights. If you look at the general fund, excuse me, on page one, all these balances are unaudited, but I don't expect them to change, so you should see the same numbers in the audit report. Ending fund balance for the general fund at the end of fiscal year 2018 is just shy of $6.5 million. We were initially projecting a budget deficit of $625,000. We beat that by almost, or actually over $800,000 to finish at $282,000 to the good. Jumping ahead to page 29 of the report, looking at the water fund. The water fund, too, did better than expected. We initially projected a budget deficit of $860,000. It was almost still a deficit, but just $250,000. So, again, about a $600,000 improvement there versus what was originally budgeted.
Do we know what the primary makeup was on that one?
Well, water sales did better than we initially anticipated, and also connection fees were stronger than we initially budgeted.
Yeah. For rents more.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
And now that the build program is out, there's actually a positive financial impact from water connection fees, which is nice.
Looking at the sewer fund on page 32. Initially had a budget deficit of about $400,000, and actually that fund will finish $33,000 to the good, putting fund balance, or fund balance equivalent rather, just around $1.4 million. Looking at page 37 for the Park and Rec Fund, that fund was initially budgeted with a deficit of about $36,000, and it will finish the year with a positive surplus of $27,000, $28,000. To put fund balance right at 24% of expenditures. And just real quick, the library as well initially had a budget deficit rather of $84,000. They actually finished about $20,000 to the good. Again, their fund balance remains strong. They have an operational fund balance of almost 75%. So that's all I wanted to touch on. Is there any questions or comments?
Probably the biggest takeaway for me, it's important that general fund, water, and sewer fund continue to perform better than we expect. Just because if you remember our aggregate budget cash flow and the surplus deficit over the next year and a half, we're supposed to bottom out, and we're going to get close to kind of what we had looked at during the recession. And then we're supposed to be turning it around and going back to the positive after that. So the fact that we're, again, talking about positive financial performance over what's expected makes that decision pushed off farther into the future. Or hopefully, the valley is just a lot less deep than we expected. And then, maybe we can kind of just watch everything for a few months and see what happens after December 2019 is kind of our crux. That's when we've got a whole bunch of bond payments that are up. And so then after that, you start to get property taxes the following year. So it's a little bit different this time than it was last time in that we don't have massive amounts of bad debt and a recession looming. Probably. we'll see. And we're a lot less reliant on development fees and impact fees than we were at that point. So things are looking pretty good in that we're, kind of targeting these things 18 months in advance. And really we've been planning for this type of a performance for, 7 or 8 years in a row now.
Any comments or questions? Mark? So is that just a FYI here? We're not sending that out to...
It is. Everybody else will get a copy of it. We would expect our audit presentation to be the first meeting in October.
Correct. And we'll post this on the website as well.
So. Okay. Sounds good. Okay, let's go on to 6, Admin 2018-69, the Remote Water Meter Financing Program.
This coincides with the water code update that we did last October. And in that water code, we now require... owners of multifamily units with only one shutoff valve to either put the utility bill in their name to actually install a separate shutoff line, which is quite expensive to do it for each unit in the building. Or we also have a third option this spring. I know Eric and Tom were looking into remote readers where you can just drive by and automatically shut off the water meter. So the water flow would essentially just come to a drip or a trickle. But they are, on the expensive side, it's $750 per meter, and we had one landlord approach us about perhaps doing a financing option. So that's what we've created here. We just would give them anywhere from 6 months to a year to finance these remote readers. We have an interest rate of 5%. If you look at Exhibit A, on the second part behind the memo, pretty straightforward agreement. The owner's information, the number of meters being financed, have a little amortization table here showing when the payments are due. I'm going to do the 20th of the month to kind of coincide with our other payment plans. And, you would just follow the procedure from there. If they didn't pay, just like a utility bill, we would lien them. So we would eventually get our money. So.
And from your exhibit, we're trying to get this paid off like in a year?
Yeah, that would be my recommendation, just to have that no longer than a year.
Mm-hmm. We have 30 or 40 tenants outstanding, or landlords outstanding.
Actually, we have 17.
Mm-hmm. 17, so okay. So that have not given us a choice yet. And so one of those 17 has approached us and said, is there financing available? We said no, but we see it as reasonable, so we'll try to create it.
Okay. Any comments, questions?
Is it something we'd look to go to in the future on at least? For all meters? Remote meters?
We haven't thought that far in advance. The 8 that we got so far that have been in various stages of install were prototypes. Mm-hmm. We basically said we're highly interested in this because it solves an existing need. Like, we want to be guinea pigs. Like, please send it over. Mm-hmm. And for 2 months, they couldn't even give us a delivery date. And they said, yes, that's interesting. We like the fact that you're willing to do it. Didn't give us a delivery date, and then they got delivered 2-3 weeks ago, probably, and just installed recently. So if it works, they're not that much more expensive than a normal water meter, and they have the ability to save us huge amounts of time. So I think it's a great idea and concept, as long as it...
In 10 years, we could see an entire changeover throughout the city and have a positive... cash flow to the whole system.
We just don't know if they work yet.
Yeah.
So
where do you install them?
I don't even know
like
the exact.
Places where they'll let you shut them off to see if they work.
It was all people that opted in. Yes.
Right. Yep. Now, when these are remote, you have to be within a certain distance of these. These are not. I'm sitting in City Hall. I can shut down there.
No, you would have to drive by the. Yeah.
They're RFI, so they're distance.
Oh, I was under the impression you could do it from City Hall.
No, they get to that point, that's even better because they don't have somebody.
Right.
They should eventually.
Yeah.
I can shut off the ammonia system I'm building right here.
Yeah.
Right.
And then my follow-up would be security of its
system.
That's a problem. Yeah.
Hackability. I don't want somebody to be able to hack the entire system and shut everybody's water down.
Water ransom.
So the ones that we are experimenting with, is this a remote read to them, or just a remote you can turn it off?
I'm not even sure about the remote read part. I just know that it was a remote shut off.
We don't have remote read.
We do. We have some that
are in the newer homes,
tower based, and some that are drive by based.
And
so
I think
it's
that's
a minority.
What we wanted to get towards is everything being remote.
Because my meter went bad. That's why I got it.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew.
Yeah.
Because
I had a water leak issue, and
mine's in the back of the house, so I don't know how you'd read it from the street. The house isn't like.
I don't know. Good question. Ideally, I'd like to try to get towards that on the remote.
Yeah.
Where you need it for everything, if it's a shutoff as well, that makes it easier.
Yep.
I think this is a good option. Solve our initial problem.
My uncle would probably want them. Because then if he's gone, you can shut him off.
If they work correctly, we would give it an option to a lot of people if they wanted to opt in and pay for the cost. Especially for the people that have already told us, that they're going to put it, the account in the landlord's name. This may be a more practical option. Then they don't have to deal with, chasing down tenants.
Do we have to move this on for approval, or...?
It does need City Council approval because it's an amendment of the code.
Gotcha. Consent agenda, okay?
Isn't it? Did we draft it as an amendment, or is it just a policy?
Just a motion.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So let's put that on the consent agenda.
Okay.
And then let's go on to 7, admin 2018-70, the Microsoft version.
This is our Office 365 licensing. So this is our software suite that we use on the city side. We did bid this out last year. It was the first year that we had done an organization-wide licensing that allows you to upgrade as you move from computers. The price since last year has gone up $80, so we felt that that was reasonable since they were the cheapest by a couple thousand bucks last year. So rather than, we ended up quoting it out last year because it was around $25,000. But we said SHI is the cheapest this year. So I still don't understand how different vendors have different office licensing prices. But
did they change any of the components within the E3?
They did not.
Okay, no. So it is identical.
Correct,
okay.
Yes.
We're good with that? Consent agenda on that?
Yep.
Hey, admin 2018-71, the amendment to IT/IntruDev.
So the gist of this is that they're giving us 4 extra hours a week for no additional cost, but in exchange we're allowing them to permanently do remote hours. So the backstory is that they were in between, our IT consultant was in between staff members at the time that we approved our last amendment. They thought that they could give us 24 hours of on-site support with no issues. Then they found out that it actually would provide them with some issues to provide that much on-site support. So they said, hey, would you accept remote hours, you know, in exchange for on-site? And we said, no, we have a contract. You know, we'll live out the contract for a year and then we'll talk about it. But then they said, well, we'll give you more hours in exchange for that. So I saw that as a reasonable trade-off. And, you know, we've actually allowed them to work remotely over the past year because they've been averaging anywhere from like 10 to 30 or even sometimes 40 hours of remote work that we haven't paid for. So that's just part of the contract with consortium. We're supposed to, you know, kind of share those hours. So we've been getting a pretty significant benefit when we're talking about our network refresh that we authorized last year, them still like buttoning up some things on it. So we saw it as a good thing. So there's two components. One is just the contract amendment with them that says remote hours are okay for 4. Then the second is just changing your IGA with Oswego that says the split now is 32 hours that Oswego is paying for, 28 hours that we're paying for. So those are the two action items under this agenda.
We do feel we're getting our support that we need out of this.
Yeah.
You know, anytime they say they're remote, or what are they doing? Are they really doing it?
Yeah.
As long as they're getting everything done, I don't care how many hours it takes them.
Yep.
As long as they don't charge us anything extra.
Exactly. Yeah, they've been doing a fair amount of ticket time, which is just break-fix stuff, and then also they've been doing a lot of network configuration stuff related to our refresh. So we've got some very good employees in their Atlanta office that have been dedicating free hours to us to kind of move our project along because it's taken so long to actually implement. So that's been an issue that we're dealing with, but on the flip side, it benefits us a little bit now because they're, you know, committed to us and giving us a couple extra hours a week.
How much do you think is ticket-based or reactive versus
It's been around 50-50,
okay.
And it depends on the week, because there's some weeks where, you know, they get bogged down in, like, firewall setup or something, and it seems like, you know, they end up letting tickets kind of lag for a week, and then other weeks it's like, nope, you know, the printer isn't working here, we need that, rather than a network refresh. So they've been good in that they've been giving us a ton of time for the amount of money that we've paid without a complaint. So they're really trying to make the consortium model work and the sharing between Oswego and Yorkville, because they really see that once successfully and smoothly implemented, will be like a model for them to be able to sell to other municipalities nationwide. So that's good. We're a little bit on the bleeding edge in that regard.
Hopefully they remember that down the road.
They remember it now because, I mean, they've been talking about a year, like, hey, we should ramp up the consortium size. It's only 7 of us right now. I mean, they're out responding to RFPs on our behalf, and they're really trying to make it grow. So it has the potential, once it starts going a little bit more smoothly, to significantly increase, which is a benefit to us. So
I know this is a savings to us on the side of insurance and other stuff. If you just look at salary, it's the low side of an IT full-time person.
Yeah.
You know, we're probably $20,000, $30,000 short of a salaried person plus benefits.
Yep.
So we're still saving probably $50,000, give or take, a year.
Yeah. Yep.
Good.
And all the other things that they, I mean, they give us strategic plan support through the consortium. You know, so there's a lot of high-level stuff. Sales, actually, support is a big thing because, you know, they say, hey, we need a firewall server. It's like, okay, what? You know, what are the specs? Yeah, do we bid it out by model? And they have sales specialists that will go, like, you know, here's the range of what you're looking for. You know, these manufacturers could probably work. You know, why don't you contact these, you know, four or five vendors that are national leaders in this, ask for prices on these models, and they get back to us. So that's helpful, just being able to bounce sales-type questions on highly technical items off of them. So.
It's a good model, I think.
So we're good with that. And how about we consent agenda, too? All right. Let's go on to 9 Edmund 2018-72, the fiscal year 2018 and fiscal year 2019. Cash fund budget amendments.
Now, this budget amendment pertains to the Bristol Bay Park site. How we initially thought the project would wrap up in fiscal year 19. Actually, it wrapped up, the construction end of it wrapped up in fiscal year 18. There's one final invoice from S&K Excavating, amount of $29,696. So what we're proposing is just to increase the FY18 budget by $30,000 and decrease the FY19 budget by $30,000, so that Bristol Bay line item in the land cash fund.
Questions?
Sounds complicated.
It's jungling. We're all good?
Yeah. As long as you're not doing
it. Yeah. Well, I have notes on you,
too. Okay.
All right. Pickles on consent, then, too? Do we have no old business? Do we have any additional business? Well, okay. Then it's 6:30. Well, it's adjourned meeting.